armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have any idea?
Really, this
you
is what
have
you're doing?
Any
this
idea?
What you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station. The radio station you can call your own. Listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. It is a great day to win a division. Let's go, Braves Country. Magic number two.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Hope you are doing great. Well, the Sarge got pulled into duty today. He got called into the principal's office, essentially what happened. So we are going to do Atlanta Braves today, 4-5. So get ready because Braves Country's coming at you hot. We're going to talk on a couple other subjects as well, but let's go ahead and get into Braves Country.
You're in Braves Country.
All righty then. Atlanta's magic number is two, and we will get into that. Get into the game tonight, but I did want to go over last night's game. We got some clips you might want to hear. Pretty good stuff from the Braves front. And no further ado, Eddie Rosario, they chose him to interview. Honest Engine, and I know they rarely interview the pitchers. I would have liked to have heard from Brad Hand. Nothing against Eddie, but I would have liked to have heard from Brad Hand. What he did last night was phenomenal. Coming in the spot he came in. You remember, they had him up and down. If you watch the game or if you listen to it right here on Braves Country HD, they had him up and down three times. And he finally gets called into duty, and he ends up winning the game or saving the game. He got the save. Iglesias got the win after he blew the save in the ninth. And Atlanta has taken 2 of 3 in Philly. Our magic number is now 2. Now it's really just a matter of time. You no longer even have to worry about, are they going to win the division? Are they not going to win the division? Can Philadelphia make it interesting? Philadelphia was going to make it interesting. They essentially needed to sweep this series and put heat on the Braves. There was no real chance of Philadelphia getting into the race. But if you were going to make that argument, that would have been it. Instead, the Braves' magic number is 2. They have a commanding, 17-game lead in the division and just been an unbelievable run for the Braves this year. We've stubbed our toe from time to time, but all teams do. I'm sorry, 16 games in front of Philadelphia. I think I said 17, but it's 16 games in front of Philadelphia, and the magic number is now 2. We are also the only team... If you missed it a couple of days ago, the only team in baseball who's clinched a playoff berth already. And 95 wins, not too shabby when you still got 17 to go. I mean, you're talking about a team that if they got hot could really put a big number on the board, but the Braves are going to play that conservatively. Let's go ahead and get into last night's game, then we'll get into the move made on the roster and all that stuff. Here is Eddie post-game on the big hit, the big at-bat that he had to give the Braves the game-winning RBI.
Well, Eddie, an eight-pitch at-bat there in the 10th, and you drive in the game-winning run. Walk us through that moment.
Solamente quería poner la bola en juego, tratar de ponerla en situación, ya que estaba la carrera gana en tercera. Y pues tuve la suerte de poder darle la bola bien y pasar de ahí.
I just wanted to put the ball in play, knowing that we had that runner on third and knowing the situation. And, fortunately, I was able to put it in play in a good spot, and it worked out.
You said you like these moments.
Yes.
You enjoy this scene. Why?
It's fun. It's fun play in this moment. It's sometimes it's so difficult, but I like this moment. It's a lot of pressure. I feel great when I'm in the home plate.
Magic number two. How does that sound?
I'm ready for tomorrow.
So are we.
So there's Eddie, and if you missed that game, if you missed the what they're talking about, Eddie comes up really long at bat, and they had already brought in Forrest Wall to run for Ozuna to start the inning. And Darnold got a productive out, got Wall over to third. And then Eddie comes up, and with one out, they got the infield drawn in, and you're just trying to either lift it over the infield's head or do what he did, which he scorched one in between the 4-3 hole. Both Harper and Stott were dove out. I mean, it was just without of reach for both of them. Didn't really matter if either one of them with force wall speed, either one of them knocks that ball down. They're not getting Wall at the plate. They're just not. The run would have scored. Now, the difference would have been Eddie wouldn't have been on first, and the Braves continue to put pressure on. They don't score another run. But if you look at that play, even if they make a diving stab there, they are not jumping to their feet, throwing it home, even as close as they were with force. Because you know Forrest Wall's going on contact. There's no way that he's not going on contact. So, any way you look at it, Eddie got the job done. I was proud of Eddie. Eddie normally swings and pitches and gets pop-ups. He does it routinely. He can handle the down and in, and that's a sweet spot. But he routinely hits pop-ups, and more teams have started to pitch him more that way. And with the book being on him the way it is, he's really got to make a concerted effort down the stretch. I'm sure he's, you know, there's conversations pregame and whatnot, but he's got to make an effort down the stretch to go in and realize they're trying to get you to chase out top, because his wheelhouse is a left-handed hitter. His wheelhouse is down and in, and everybody, I've seen this for weeks, they're trying to pitch him out and away. So he fought off some pitches. Long at bat, 7-8 pitches in the at bat, and Braves get the win. Here is Brian Snicker on the Eddie at bat.
What about that at bat, Eddie had?
No, great at bat, man. It's like Craig kept trying to elevate on him, and he kept getting just enough and fouling enough balls off that he got one he could put in play.
So, once again, Eddie Rosario gets the game-winning RBI. We, as a broadcasting, you know, originally I said Ozuna because he did have the three RBIs, but I got talked into it by the folks that were watching and chatting in the game. I had to agree with them after I'd mentioned it just before we went off. I said, you know, I'd be okay with giving it Brad Hand. We am giving Brad Hand the game ball as we do on all the broadcasts. When the Braves get a W, we announce a game ball, just kind of like the MVP of the game kind of thing, kind of a fun thing that we do. But Brad Hand came in, and he absolutely did more than what was expected. I would have been okay with Brad Hand letting the game get tied, because when you put the ghost runner at second, it becomes very difficult to stop a team from scoring. Philadelphia did what they were supposed to do in that situation. They got the runner over on third. They they with one out, and Hand goes out there and gets the big strikeout. And when you look at what he did there, going back to the, you know, he enters in the 10th inning, the one run game. I mean, Craig Kimbrell couldn't shut down the Braves. We know Craig Kimbrell is an elite closer. But Stock grounded out to first, and that moved Castellanos, who was the ghost runner, over to third, for those of y'all that might have missed it. And then Marsh comes in. Remember, Marsh had already been brought in earlier in the game to face a right-hander, and when they did that, the Braves brought in the lefty, Minter. So Marsh was still in the game. The Phillies really didn't have another option. They were hoping that he could just make some good contact. And don't get me wrong, Marsh is a good hitter, but he just looked like that he was out there just flailing, just trying to make any kind of contact. He ends up striking out, swinging, and then Rojas pops it up to second, and the game's over. Braves win the game 7-6. And when it's all said and done, 7 runs off of 10 hits and no errors. Phillies 6-12-0 as well. Here is Max Fried pitched a darn good game. And it's a shame that he didn't get the win. But he went out there and gave the Braves 5 solid innings. He came out with 87 pitches. And I think some of the media were concerned something was wrong with Max. I thought it was a smart move. Now, it backfired a little bit because Tonkin wasn't as sharp, and he gave up a run when he came in. But usually Tonkin's really good. What really killed the Braves was Jimenez. His fastball was flat and out over the plate, and he gave up 3 runs in just a third of an inning. That's what killed the Braves. You can live with Tonkin giving up 1 run when you've got a 5-run lead. He came in there, he pitched 2 innings, only gave up 1 run. It's really darn good pitching when it's all said and done. It took him a while to get honed in, and I've said this before, Tonkin's delivery, it's so herky-jerky. There's times where he's inaccurate. It's going to happen. He's got so many moving parts. He's like a right-handed version, almost Chris Sale-like, where there's so many moving parts that if the mechanism isn't just absolutely perfect, it's very easy to lose your control. It's probably why it took Tonkin so long in his career to get where he is now, a very good right-handed reliever. But there's times where he comes out, he doesn't have it. Jimenez has been phenomenal for the Braves, but he came out and got clubbed last night and gave up a couple of bombs. But once again, that fastball, it was flat, and it was getting way too much of the plate. You can throw 96 all you want, but a team like Philadelphia with the hitters that they have, it's just like facing the Braves. It ends up being batting practice. Here is Snicker on Max Fried in the state of Max Fried.
The tough fourth and fifth inning, you're kind of long there. He was okay coming out.
No, he's fine. It's just like Max. I mean, when he's one of those guys that rises to the occasion, you know, makes pitches when he has to, and, you know, he had to work that last inning, and I thought Tonkin did a great job the way he started out, the way he finished. That's a big, huge strikeout of Schwarber right there, so he continues to do a great job for us too.
So Tonkin comes in, gives up 1, but honestly, the Braves are still in control. And then Jimenez, that's what really hurt us, going in, giving up 3 earned runs. I'm not getting on to Jimenez because he's been phenomenal for the Braves. And for the Braves to go deep in the playoffs, he's going to have to continue to be that good. But sometimes you just don't have it. Now, I didn't hear them question him about Jimenez. We've talked about the way the Braves beat writers kind of tiptoe around certain subjects, so they're not going to go after it. It's just not in their nature. It is what it is. Minter came in, gave 2 2/3, looked very good. He did walk 1 batter, but he struck out 2, and he really set the Braves up on that hold when it felt like it was unraveling. Then Iglesias comes in, but this all goes back to the 1 walk by Minter, right, to be able to set up where it's looming that Bryce Harper is going to be coming to the plate. But anyways, what ends up happening with the Phillies there is Iglesias comes in and blows second save in 2 days. And you hated to see it,
pulling for Raziel. I really like him. I think he's a very good closer. Braves fans overreact. Well, you know what? I'm not going to say fans overreact when a closer blows a save. They are in the highest pressure situation in a game. They're going up, in this case, one of the best offenses in baseball. When it comes to postseason, you're going to get the same thing. And you're being asked to get the high leverage outs night after night after night after night. And we got a little spoiled in Braves country over the years. Now, we've had some bad closers, but we've also had Craig Kimbrell in his prime. We've had John Smoltz coming out of the pen where he was just throwing flames and nobody could touch him. So Iglesias comes in and you end up getting the home run by Turner. I still think that was from that. I'm telling you right now, that was looming in his mind because he knew he had to face Harper. Harper was due up third. Way too much of the plate. Turner's way too, I mean, there's a reason why the guy makes $300 million, right? He didn't miss it. He sent it 400 feet into center, and the game is tied. But to Iglesias' credit, he goes out after giving up a single to Bowman. It looks like, oh, here we go. They're about to unravel the game's. This is where we lose the game. It's where we lose the game. Instead, Harper gets a single, and you're like, oh, here we go. First and second, nobody out. Game is tied. Any base hit, any blooper, any broken bat single, anything loses us the game. JT Realmuto's at the plate. That ain't good. That ain't funny for anybody. Iglesias strikes him out. And you can feel a, we might get out of this. It's not going to be easy, but we might get out of this. Castellanos, I mentioned at the time in the broadcast, Castellanos hits into double plays because of his swing. Now, he's a hell of a hitter, too. He's already hit one out in this series. And you're just looking at, oh, here we go, here we go. All he's got to do is get a base hit anywhere. And with the speed of Bohm, which is pretty solid, it's not going to take much to get him home. Castellanos hits into a double play, a 5-4-3 ender. And that gets us to the 10th inning. Here's Snicker on Iggy. And probably just, I'm sure he gets tired of hearing of the overreaction from fans through the media. But this was Iggy, Snicker talking about Iglesias. We call him eyeglasses around here on the outing last night.
With Iggy, you just have to look at this as something a reliever is going to go through at some point here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they all do. I mean, probably everyone in the league has been through more than what, you know, and you know what? He's not losing games. I mean, we're winning games that he pitches. So, you know, it's tough to go out there and face the top half of a lineup every night in that situation. That's why those guys are a special breed.
So there we have that. And so, you know, something else I do want to address real quick here on Braves Country before I forget. We've had some ugly comments but from people over the last week or so directed at me, directed at a lot of other people. I'm just going to make it real simple and short. The Braves Country is supposed to be fun. If you aren't having fun, kick rocks. Bye-bye. It's supposed to be fun. And you will get deleted and banned for comments because we're not playing the game with you, you losers. Boom goes the dynamite. All right, here we go. Snicker on Brad Hand, and we talked about Iglesias gets out of that. Snicker goes to Brad Hand, and Brad Hand, man, I'll tell you what, that was phenomenal. Because you look, if you remember Brad Hand in his heyday back in 2016, and I'd say 2016 was his apex, that guy was unhittable. He had filthy, hard stuff that would come diving into you. Nobody wanted to face Brad Hand. He's not the same pitcher that he was. Who is the same person they were from 7-8 years ago, right? But Hand, at one point, an elite closer. He still has the experience, and this was Snicker on Hand's performance that ended up getting the save and slammed the door.
Unless it was the type of guy like Hand who's had so much experience in big spots.
You know, I'm just, we kind of held, you know, I had him up earlier and kind of just kept resisting to the right spot to use it. Even glad it did now because, you know, I mean, he's been in those situations so many times. And, you know, the one out strikeout was huge because you put the ball in play, you're probably going to score. So that I was, you know, and he's been in that situation a lot. You know, I mean, he's been an elite closer in his career. So it's great to have somebody like that down there.
So we get the W, and then on top of that, which you love, look, this series, if you have not been tuned into this series, if you've been kind of like, well, and I know there's a lot of sports fans that are like this. They kind of wait till the postseason when it comes to a lot of sports. They might dive into their favorite football team, but they wait till the postseason. You're missing a hell of a series. This series has been unbelievable. You're talking about three games where the Braves are taking two of three, so it hasn't been a lopsided series by any stretch of the imagination. Three games that has had a postseason feel to it, especially when you get later in the games. We win 7-6 Tuesday. Monday, a doubleheader, we win 10-8, and Philly wins 7-5. So not only are you getting close games, you are getting high-scoring games. They've just been fun. This has been a fun series to watch. And if this is what we get in October, Philly versus the Braves, look out, y'all. It could be a lot of fun. And I know it's not who Braves fans want to face, but I do believe that it is most likely who we face. If you look at the standings, the way it is right now, the Braves will have the 1 seed. Philly will have the 4 seed. Chicago the 5 seed, assuming the Phillies beat the Cubs, because all three games will be in Philly. The Braves will play the winner of that series. There is no reseeding. So it doesn't do you any good if the 6 seed ends up upending the Milwaukee Brewers. I still believe they do it wrong. In fact, I know they do it wrong. It should be based on overall wins. And right now, the Brewers have a couple more wins than Philadelphia. And if that ends up going out, then yeah, the Dodgers should be playing the Brewers. But if you get a 6 seed that upends the Brewers, very, very possible that the Brewers are a good team. They also score in bunches, but normally they're low-scoring games. They can easily be knocked out. We've seen it time and time again. So, unfortunately, we're not going to play the worst team left. It's not like the National Football League where it reseeds. We're going to get whoever is on the other side of the bracket. If that's what we get, we're in for one hell of a series. And it is going to be crucial for the Atlanta Braves to win the first two games of that series in Atlanta. Because you're going to get two in Philly, and if it's a replay of last year where you split two in Atlanta, that is a tough environment to play. You also have to look at it, too. If Philly plays in that first series, we're not going to get their best bullet in game one. Their best bullet's going to come in game two or game three. Most likely Wheeler. The Braves did get to him, but Wheeler has been outstanding. Let's not get that twisted. All right, here is Snicker about winning these close games, especially this series.
Three nail biters in a row now. What are the emotions like for you?
No, it's what you expect coming in here. I mean, this team scares me as much as any team in the game, quite honestly. That firepower and what they got, and, you know, as we saw right there, I mean, it's they got a strike left. They're dangerous. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's kind of when you come in and play good teams like this, it's you expect it to not be easy, and it never is.
You got, I feel probably a lot of managers say the same thing facing your team. It's kind of feel, yeah. You got a feeling of what they feel like here.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is a powerful team. And it's a really good bullpen, and their starters, you know, are really good. And, you know, so it's tough coming in here, I guess.
Nice to have the ability of your team to have that kind of ability to fire back and answer back when they come.
Yeah, well, the good thing about them, you know, they can, but the thing is they allow themselves to. They don't they stay in a game. I mean, they don't think they ever feel like they're out of a game, and I think that's a big thing. They don't let the ups and downs and ebbs and flows of a game ever get them down. I mean, they stay the course and allow themselves a chance to win.
And so there you have that. And then Snicker went to talk about the fact that this – lineup, and you see it, if you've been watching the Braves for the last few years, you don't have to be a Braves fan since the early 90s or 80s or 70s or even 10 years ago. If you've been watching this Braves team, we'll say for the last two or three, 4 years, you've seen the players on this roster mature. We used to get a lot of strikeouts. I mean, a lot of strikeouts, and you're seeing less and less strikeouts. And it's been gradual over time, so you don't notice it as much. But if you sit back and think about all the strikeouts we used to get, man, Ronald Acuña Jr. used to strike out a lot. A lot. Same thing with Ozzy. Riley used to strike out much more. So we're starting to see these guys do much better job of putting the ball in play. When you put the ball in play and you're not striking out, anything can happen. So here's Snicker on the not striking out.
Like when you set the National League record for home runs, you have a big at bat like that from Rosario. Another example, this team's not striking out.
We're putting the ball in play. And then I think that's the big reason why we've been successful offensively this year. We've matured. We're getting better. As I keep saying over and over and over, you know, we're because we don't strike out as much as we used to. And I think that's just growth, maturity, you know, approach that guys have, and it pays off in the long run.
And because it is a possibility that the Phillies and Braves could match up in the postseason, here's Brian Snicker on that possibility. They asked him about it, and he pushed it aside.
With a decent likelihood of you guys facing the Phillies in the first round of the playoffs, is there any thought to giving this series almost like a dress rehearsal or a test run for that?
No, all we're trying to do right now is win the next game. Don't even remotely think about anything like that.
And so the Braves' magic number is now 2. But even though he's aware of it, I don't think he wanted to harp on it, but Snicker did address the fact that it becomes fun this time of year going to the ballpark.
I asked Eddie on the field, how does the magic number being 2 sound? And he said, I can't wait to get to the park tomorrow. Do you feel similarly, Eddie Rosario, on the field?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's, that's, you know, why we play this game. You know, it's an exciting time of year, and everybody's aware of it. And that's kind of special that you get to experience that. So, heck yeah, they should enjoy that, relish it, and not can't wait to, you know, like get up, get a cup of coffee, and get out here and play a game.
So the magic number is 2. And we will get into the other magic numbers after we take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, get you ready for game 4 of this series. We can win the division tonight, which is what we were hoping for when this series started. I would have taken a split. We've already guaranteed a split. But the fact that we could win it tonight in Philadelphia makes it a little extra special. Especially when you looked at the prognosticators at the beginning of the season. Most folks had the Atlanta Braves finishing in second or third behind either Philadelphia, the Mets, or both of them. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will address that magic number in the game tonight. Spencer Strider night in Philadelphia.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill. Each and every morning, right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every 5 purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Hey, Braves Country! Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
Braves Country Today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country Today, Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country Baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country Today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans, and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
You're in Braves Country.
Welcome back. Hope your Wednesday is treating you well. Hope it'll treat us Braves fans well. We have a chance to clinch division. Who had September 13th as the possibility of clinching the division? That's impressive. When you consider the money that was spent in New York and Philadelphia this year to stop the Atlanta Braves from winning the division yet again. It is a... And I'll tell you what, this isn't going away. Assuming health, assuming no just disaster, which you could normally rely on pretty good health in baseball. You do get major injuries from time to time, but in a whole, it's not a sport where you just get decimated by a bunch of injuries on any given year. You will get key injuries here and there. You just have to adjust to it. I mean, look at the Braves. We didn't have Max Fried and Kyle Wright for the majority of this year. But you look at the way the Braves are built. I mean, let's be honest. This Atlanta Braves team is built for the long haul for the next several years. And it sounds like the Mets are going into a full rebuild. Now, I do think the Mets will be more competitive with their new general manager that they have hired this week, Stern from the Milwaukee Brewers. He's been waiting out his contract to come to an end, and it was finally announced this week that he's going to be the new GM. Everybody knew it in baseball circles, but we were just kind of waiting on the actual official.
he's done a hell of a job. And I do believe that he's going to bring counsel over with him from Milwaukee. He is a free agent at the end of this year. Buck Showalter's gone. What little chance Buck Showalter had of staying as the coach, or the manager, I should say, in New York, went out the door when they hired Stern. Stern's going to want his own guy. I'm assuming it's counsel, but maybe he's got someone else. You never know. But they're going to build it the way the Milwaukee Brewers built their team, more analytically driven, and also they're going to, I guarantee you, the Mets are going to build around pitching. That's what the Brewers did. And basically what you're getting is you're getting a guy who ran a brew crew team that didn't have a lot of money but has had a ton of success. Right? And now he's going to unlimited pockets. Very, very reminds me very, very much so of when the guys from Tampa Bay went out to the Dodgers several years back. Now, they had already had success, but they were coming out there and they were going to go for the Tampa Bay Rays, a poverty franchise, to unlimited pockets with the Dodgers. And this is exactly what they're going to do in the New York. The Mets will be good in the future, but it's not going to be next year. Because you'd have to be insane for Stern to come in and try, for Stern and Cohen to go all in next year and try to do what they did the last 2 years, which basically was try to go out and buy a championship with all the money that they have to take off the books here the next couple of years. You know, they had to pay the rest of the Scherzer contract, the rest of the Verlander contract. They are going to build this differently. They're going to take a step back. And they're also, and look, if you're sitting in the Mets front office, what are you saying to yourself? Dude, what are we going to build that's going to win this division with these Braves being this damn good and the Phillies are pretty damn good themselves? Why don't we ride this out for the next couple of years, build up a young team that can go compete with Atlanta? I don't think the Mets are going to just tear it down and not try to win at all. But I think if you're a Mets fan, or if you're a Braves fan or a Phillies fan looking at when the next time you would really be threatened by the Mets, I don't believe it will be next year, because I do believe they're going to – I think they're trading Pete Alonso. I don't believe they're going to go all in by 2025. I think you're more looking at 2026 and beyond as realistic, if you're a Mets fan, to make realistic runs. Now, look – you can catch lightning in a bottle, and you can get there a lot quicker from time to time. You look at what the Marlins did the first half of the season, and I mean, they're still hanging around there. But the Mets, if they're smart, they step aside and don't worry about it. They say, you know what? This is what we're going to do. We're going to step back. I mean, look, the Marlins, they rode a hot beginning to their season to where they're still, what, a game and a half out of the wild card? They could still make it in there. To me, it is not a foregone conclusion that handicapping the NL wild card is probably the most difficult thing you can do right now. I mean, look, the Cubs have a 3.5 game lead, and that's pretty healthy considering where we're at in the season, 2.5 weeks left. But I mean, that's not a gimme. They still got to come to Atlanta for three. What if Atlanta's still playing for something like best record in baseball? Philly, I'd say, is the one team that has pretty much punched their ticket, even with these couple losses last couple. Even if they lose tonight, worst case scenario, they're going to wake up tomorrow in the number one seed in the wild card. That is the worst case scenario. They'll still be, no matter what the Cubs do today, they'll still be in front of the Cubs by a half game. And I'm not convinced the Diamondbacks have the pitching to go down the stretch. I'm not. So right now, if you're looking at the standings, or if you're just riding down the road and you haven't paid attention to it today, right now, Philly, number one wild card, 3.5 games up on the last wild card. Cubs, number two, 2 up on the last wild card. The last wild card is the Arizona Diamondbacks. You've got the Reds a game behind Arizona. You've got the Marlins and the Giants a game and a half behind Arizona. And that's it. After that, Padres are done. They're 8 behind. You're not making up 8 games in 17 days. Excuse me. And it's kind of funny. The Pirates have leapfrogged the Mets. Well, only by a half game, but it's funny when you consider. I'll tell you what's even more shocking with this entire season. People talk about the Mets all they want, the Padres all that. The St. Louis Cardinals are 17 games under 500. They were assumed to be the team to beat in the NL Central, and for good reason. But anyways, just wanted to touch on the NL wild card, give you an idea of what's going on, because I know us Braves fans usually get locked up into what we're doing and not paying attention to the rest. If you want a real quick rundown on the American League wild card is exciting. Not at the top. The Rays are running away with the number one wild card, so they'll be the 4 seed. They're going to host the playoffs and look, they could still catch Baltimore. They're only 2 games behind Baltimore. That's still a division that's not done yet. But let's just assume Baltimore wins their division. Baltimore will be the 1 seed, Houston the 2 seed, and Minnesota the 3 seed, with the Rays being the 4 seed with 89 wins. Once again, seems a little odd that Baltimore would have to play Tampa Bay in the first round. They're getting the same job that the Braves are getting. 91 wins and 89 wins, respectively, with Orioles and Rays. The Twins are 15 games behind. The Astros about 10 games behind. And you're Baltimore. You may have to face the Rays in the first round, or vice versa. If you're the Rays, you're going to have to face Baltimore in the first round, because they're not getting unseated from the 4 speed. The first round of which the divisional series. The wild card round, Tampa Bay right now would host the Rangers, who are a half game up on the Mariners, and the Blue Jays, who are in a flat-footed tie. AL wild card down the stretch is going to be fun. Red Sox are done. Put a fork in them. They are done. They're 7 out. They needed to show up in a big way in that Yankee series. They have spit the bit. They have got to go on like a 10-game winning streak for me to pay attention to the Red Sox again. Hell, they're tied with the Yankees now, and the Yankees are on life support. But that down the stretch they come. They're going 3 wide into the turn, separated by 1 loss in the loss column. Rangers, Mariners, and Blue Jays. And then, of course, you got the other factor is that the Astros are sitting out there with currently the number 2 seed in the American League. And the West will get the 2 seed. The Twins are way too far back. But they only have a 1-game lead over the Rangers and the Mariners. So you're going to see some leapfrogging between Astros, Rangers, Mariners, and, oh, by the way, the Blue Jays are sitting out there. It's going to be a fun last couple of weeks. It really is. And when you look at tonight, as we turn our attention to tonight's game, as we brush that aside, the Braves, our magic number to win the division is 2. Everybody knows that. Our magic number to get the best record of the National League over the Dodgers currently sits at 13. We've talked about this before. It sits at 13. But it's really 12 because of the tiebreakers. With the Orioles, 15, but really 14 because of the tiebreakers. So if you're looking at what does that mean in the whole grand scheme of things, Braves are 6 games in front of the Dodgers in the loss column. They are actually 6.5 up on the Dodgers. And they are 3.5 up on the Orioles. And that's what we're looking at heading in. We are pulling for any team who's playing Baltimore and any team that's playing the Dodgers until we clinch this. After that, who cares? And you can kind of keep an eye on Tampa Bay as well. And honestly, I'm more concerned with Tampa Bay because they've got the pitching to go deep. Baltimore does. Baltimore has the offense. But typically, offenses can't carry you in the postseason. It did with Philly last year, but they got big starts from guys who stumbled down the stretch. They also had a bullpen that just pitched lights out. But typically, you're looking at the pitching, right? So that's where we're going at. And tonight, of course, the big stuff here, if you miss the memo, A.J. Smith-Shawver has been sent back down. And if you missed it yesterday, by the way, Jesse Chavez began his rehab assignment last night in Gwinnett. So we hope to see him in the near future. He's starting in high A Rome, which means that tells you that they're going to take baby steps. And why rush him back? You don't need him. You want to make sure he's crisp. I would have liked to have seen them have Wright back down there for one more start. Down in the minors, maybe even two. Have him crisp. Don't have him questioning his stuff. Pitchers get in their own heads and things can unravel. But A.J. Smith-Shawver has been sent back down. And Jared Schuster has been called up. And there's more to this. I'll get into one second. We were hoping to see AJ come out of the bullpen. That's what they've been grooming him for. And I wanted to see him in action. I really did. But it just never lined up to where they wanted to make those moves. And so there you have that as far as what's been going on here with the Braves and their movement. By the way, another interesting thing, saw this statistic. It's not really news, just a statistic. So the Atlanta Braves, we all know, are pacing the National League and Major League Baseball in home runs. They now have 281. 307 is the record. We all hope they get it, but it's really not that big a deal if they do or not. Has nothing to do with how well we'll do in the postseason. But it'd be a cool little thing to add to it. Now, they did break the record for the National League last night with the Dodgers. Speaking of the Dodgers are in second place with the best home runs in baseball. How far back are they? The Dodgers are 55 home runs behind the Atlanta Braves. Which means if you take Matt Olson and his 51 home runs, and let's say you take them out of the Braves lineup, we still have more home runs than the Los Angeles Dodgers. We have more home runs than the Dodgers, even if you take away the guy with the best, with the most home runs in baseball. That's a statistic. The next closest teams, the Angels and Rays, 72 back. I was actually kind of shocked to see the Rays on that list. The Twins are 76 back. Yankees and Rangers are 78 behind the Braves. And all the other teams haven't even scratched 200 yet. So there you have that. I thought that was a pretty interesting statistic when it's all said and done. So Atlanta will head into tonight. And we've got Spencer Strider on the mound. and looking forward to his performance. Hope he has a bounce back. You're really hoping that Strider is going to be a guy that can bounce back. And here's the other thing. He's back in Philly. He had a bad outing in Philly last October. And he's got to exercise those demons, right? And by the way, on the whole thing about Jared Schuster coming up, what they are saying right now is that they are projecting that the Braves will probably have him pitch this weekend, start this weekend. This is assuming they don't need him out of the bullpen tonight. He could be pushed to Friday, but they're going to make that in concrete decision after the game tonight. Right now, if you look it up, it's Bryce Elder, but they could be pushing everybody back. If they push everybody back once again, I hope Kyle Wright gets his start, his next start against the Marlins this weekend. Do not screw around and have him pitch against the Phillies again. It's not fair to a guy who's just coming off the IL. So there you have that. Braves will come into tonight with that magic number being one. And you, when you look at this and you look at some of the guys, first of all, one of the things that I always like to look at is the umpire behind home plate. And most likely, you don't always get it, but what you normally get is a guy, you can go back and look at their latest numbers, and Rayburn's behind the plate tonight, and he gets some slack. He gets some flack. In fact, I saw one tweet where called strike three, I guess cost a game back in, what was it, August 19th. So about a month ago. But I see a lot of people. But here's the thing. If you go by just people's hard reactions, it's really difficult to go out there and go off of that. What I normally try to do is go find their scorecard. And some of those can be misleading. Don't get me wrong. They're not a perfect thing, but they can be misleading. DJ Rayburn typically calls the game very wide. So, with that being said, it should play into the hands of Spencer Strider. Now, we'll know, typically, with me, when it comes to umpires, as I call these games, you know within the first inning or two. You kind of can base what they're calling in the first inning into the second. I normally wait till the second inning, end of the second inning, and go, all right, this is what we've got tonight. Because sometimes a guy just sets up poorly behind the plate and misses a call, and then gets it back together. We will probably get an expanded strike zone. That should play dividends for Spencer Strider. Now, Christopher Sanchez, if you're not familiar with him, he's getting the start tonight, and I have not seen him much. I've watched a couple of his starts because he was on my Dynasty Fantasy team, if I'm being honest. And he's got pretty good stuff. Now, he was not what you would call a strikeout pitcher. Man, he's got a funky delivery. He is a lefty, and the Braves do tend to crush left-handed pitching. But if you look at his numbers, 80 innings pitched, 73 strikeouts, that's not a strikeout pitcher. He also only has 13 walks, so that also tells you that he keeps the ducks off the pond. The biggest number, the most impressive number to me with Sanchez is this. It's not his 3.26 ERA. Sometimes this can be misleading. The number that I lean on more than anything else when I'm looking at a pitcher, especially when I haven't seen before, what can I expect from him, is the WHIP, the walks plus hits divided by innings pitched. It gives you a very clear definition of how often there are guys on base. He's got a 1.04. That is a low WHIP. So, though his ERA is lower at 3.26, the WHIP is what really jumps out at me. Because sometimes expected ERAs are much higher and they end up evening himself out. Guys are getting rocked, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're keeping guys off the bags, you can usually keep the runs down. So I think we're going to be in for an old-fashioned rock fight tonight. We've had a lot of high-scoring games, first three games of this series. This feels like one with an umpire that tends to have an expanded zone, a strikeout machine in Spencer Strider, though he has had some bad outings versus Philly, but still. And then you've got Sanchez, who keeps runners off bases. And if they're giving him an expanded zone, which you have to assume if one's getting one, the other will get it too, you could be looking at a very low-scoring game. So the Braves are going to have to take advantage of their opportunities. It doesn't look like he walks a whole lot. I mean, 13 walks, 80 innings pitched. You're essentially talking about one walk a game. So you're going to have to earn your way on. Now, hopefully the Braves bats, who hit left-handed pitching, are much better than what Philadelphia will do with Strider. But Strider, he had that terrible outing his last time out. And let's be honest, these things pop up with him. I mean, he went 2 2/3, 6 runs against St. Louis. And you could say, well, that's just an anomaly. No, the time before that, against the Dodgers, 6 innings, 4 earned runs. And back in his second start in August, 2 2/3 innings, 6 earned runs against the Pirates. So he's done this twice where he's gone 2 2/3, giving up 6 earned runs. And in that stretch, by the way, you would think as hard as he throws, he's just giving up the home run ball. No. In those two starts that I referred to, one home run in, what is it? Would that be 5 1/3 inning? But gave up 12 runs. He was getting smacked around, 11 hits, and he also walked 6 times. That's what really gets him in trouble, is that when he has bad outings, don't get me wrong, I love Strider, I love everything he brings to the game, but when he has bad outings, it's usually because he's walking guys, and then they get on the pond, and then he's missing his spots, and then someone drives one into the gap, and around and around and around we go. So, coming to the end of this, my pick to click with the lefty on the mound, I'm going to go with Ozuna. Now, you know what? Who's due? I'll tell you who's due. It's been quiet. Let me scratch that real quick. Give me Austin Riley to help us win the division. Just got a feeling Riley's going to come around. You kind of want to go Ozzy because he's been so bad recently, but I'll go one with Riley, but keep an eye on Ozzy. He will be on the right side of the plate, so maybe he'll crank one. And then the other, the score, I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I really do. I don't think it's going to be high-scoring. So pick to click. Give me Austin Riley. Haven't used him in a while. And final score in this game, Atlanta ekes out a close one. Let's go. The over-under is 9. I think it's actually going to be a little lower than that. We've had a lot of high-scoring games. We're due for a nail-biter, small ball type of game. Give me a Braves win this one. 4-1. 4-1. We win the division on Philly soil. We got to run. Braves, Phillies, game 4, 6:40 first pitch. Let's get it.